Hi there, and welcome to Let's Slow Down, a podcast for all of you who feel tired and stressed from this overwhelming world. Here we'll have fun, inspiring conversations about living life on our own terms and explore ways to ease the pace of our modern world, because life really is good when you're relaxed enough to be present for it. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Stolting, and I welcome you to this space where I hope to inspire you to slow down, because life is too short to let it go by in a blur. So take a deep breath, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of the Let's Slow Down podcast. Today's guest is Jean Collins. She's an award-winning interior designer who left the corporate world behind to find her true self through design and internal reflection. Her firm, Germar Designs, works with executives and entrepreneurs, focusing on projects that combine sophistication and balance with inner and outer wellness. She chronicles her journey and the approach that changed her life and work in her memoir, 2 Feet In, Lessons from an All-In Life. Welcome to the podcast, Jean.
Thank you, Anne-Marie, for having me. I'm so excited to speak with you today.
So excited to talk to you as well. I mean, we focus on intentional living here on this show and definitely trying to go, you know, 2 feet in, all in on life is something that I try to live by and am constantly working on. So I'm excited to hear your approach.
We all are. You're just like the rest of us. Come on.
What a journey. So tell us more about yourself and what inspired you to write this book.
Yeah. So like you mentioned, I'm an interior designer, but that was not what I spent most of my career doing. So I spent the first 22 years of my career in advertising sales. I was a VP of sales and I worked for a public company and managed a sales team. And in January of 2020, I got fired from my nice big VP job. And that was a really not just a fork, like an explosion in the road of my life. Because I was a single parent. I've been a single mom for, I'm now 17 years that I've been a single parent. I owned a house, lived in a very expensive town, had a huge mortgage, and kind of defined myself by that job. And when I got fired, you go through so many emotions, but that was really a pivotal changing point for myself because I really had to figure out, who am I going to be when I grow up? Because I was about to turn 50 also. And so I felt like, okay, I probably have to work for another 20 years, let's be honest here. And if I'm going to do that, I want to really feel passionate about it. I want to love it. And I also want to feel like I have life work balance when I'm doing it, because I felt like I was owned by Wall Street, to be honest. When you work for a public company and you're on a sales team, you're only as good as your last quarter of performance. And the stress and the pressure of that lifestyle is something that you don't realize until you've walked away from it. So I had to make a change. And so I decided I was going to follow my passion, which was interior design. And I was going to go all in and start my own design business. So I went back to school and started my own design business. And then from that was, we're coming on 4 years. It'll be 4 years in May. So that was 4 years ago. And in the interim, I also decided I was going to write a book. And so I wrote a memoir that came out in July of last year. And that's called 2 Feet In, Lessons from an All-In Life. So there we are. I'm doing something completely different with my life today than what I was doing 4 years ago. And never would have ever imagined I would be where I am, but it is the perfect place for me to be.
Wow. That is, first of all, you summarized it beautifully because I read your book and I know of all the things you've gone through. I mean, January of 2020. So like, couldn't have probably been worse timing in the world, right? With the year. I mean, it's never a good time to be fired, but...
No, right before a worldwide lockdown. Yeah, great timing to try to find a new job. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I think as I get older, I am just more aware of these things that happen to us and how we react to them and what we do with them. So it's all about perspective. And I know you talk a lot about mindset, which we will touch on today. But you took something that could have just destroyed some people and you made it a positive, huge positive catalyst for change in your life. And you didn't let age or going back to school stop you. And I find that very inspiring. And it gives so much credit to your drive and really following your heart and your passion. It's very inspiring. And look where it's led you. I mean, I can tell just from talking to you before we started recording today that you are really following your dreams and living wholeheartedly. And that is something that it's not just a job, right? It's a lifestyle. It's who you are. And I love talking to people who are really embodying that, because you can just tell from just by looking at them and the way that they talk and just the way that they handle themselves, how fulfilled they are. So
thank you. Cause it, like I said, I am a different person now than the person that I was. And one of the reasons why I wrote the book was people always say like, oh, your story is so inspiring, all the things that you've done in your career and being a mom and building a house and all this. And I wrote the book really because I was like, you know what, maybe if I can inspire some other people with the lessons that I've learned and maybe help them so they don't have to make some of the same mistakes. I don't want to call them mistakes, but learn from what I've done and give people some tips and some tricks and things that worked for me, because I'm always big on trying resources from other people. I have to reinvent the wheel all the time. And so I wrote the book hoping maybe I could inspire people a little bit. And I talk in the beginning of the book that I actually want my story not to be so much about me as a person, but about the energy that you can feel from my book and the energy from my lessons and the energy from the life I live, because I feel like the energy has much more power than just me as a person. So thank you for recognizing that.
Absolutely. Yep. I think that's the word I was missing when I was trying to describe you. It is your energy.
No, you got it. You totally got it.
It's palpable. So how did you tap into that energy? Let's start there.
So in writing the book, having to tap into the energy, I had to really challenge myself to be really vulnerable and really honest, because the book is definitely a tell-all. There are things that my family is not happy that are in the book. There are people in my life who are like, did you really have to tell that story? And the reality is, yes, by the time I got to the second chapter of writing the book, I had to make a conscious decision that if I really wanted to be authentic to myself, and I felt that being authentic was going to help motivate people the best or inspire them the most, I was going to have to be really vulnerable and I was going to have to really tell it all. And so I did. And for better or worse, I did, because I think the reality is we are not perfect human beings. And so if we're striving for perfection, we're going to feel like we're always failing. And so by showing my shortcomings and showing some of the things and talking about some of the things that I had done that some people might not think are great decisions, and then showing how I came through them on the other side and what I learned from them. Really, that's why it's about lessons. It's what did I learn from these things? Because we're not perfect. So I think the energy comes through because I was willing to be authentically me and tell it like it is. And I'm a very straightforward person. Ironically, I'm actually a very introverted person, not an extroverted person, but I'm an extroverted person by career. And so I've learned to become that way. And so, but forcing myself to be vulnerable and really talking about how I felt at different times, I think makes the lessons relatable and more impactful.
I agree. I was going to say that, because oftentimes, especially in our world of social media, we only see like the perfect picture of things. So it's not realistic, first of all. And it also makes it seem unattainable, because behind that perfect picture, like how many other pictures were taken or how many mistakes, failures, whatever you want to call them, happened to get to that point. There's always a backstory and we oftentimes don't see it. So
no. And social media is the worst. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And your point about it's making it unattainable. And that's the whole thing that I'm trying to communicate in my book and in my lessons. And when I speak to people is what has been attainable for me. And maybe there are portions of what I do that you could implement in your life. And that might get you to where you want to go. You don't have to be me. You just have to see if you want to look within yourself to figure out how to live a better life and a more peaceful life for yourself. And then what does that look like? And then how do you get there? Because what's unique to you is not what's going to necessarily work for someone else.
Exactly. And really following that instinct, that intuition. And I think, I know for me growing up, it's like you just kind of put your head down and you're doing the next thing and the next thing. And sometimes we forget, I know I did, to stop and think about, well, is that next thing actually what I want to do? Or does it actually...
Right. Yes. I did the same thing. Oh, yes. I definitely did the same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just taking that extra minute. And that's why I'm so passionate about slowing down. And certainly not slowing down to like do nothing and be lazy, but slowing down to be more aware and be more present and make the intentional next choice
right.
that will kind of keep you on the path that you want to be on, because there's so many distractions out there that we can very easily, without even realizing, end up on a path that we really have no desire to walk on.
Oh, right. Completely. Yeah. And it's paying attention. It's awareness, right? And so it's like it's teaching yourself to be aware of not only what's going on in your surroundings, but what's going on internally within yourself. And you can't do that unless you take a pause. You really can't, unless you quiet your mind and you listen to what's going on. And the universe opens up and provides anything that we want if we pause and we listen to the universe. And so many of the things that have happened to me, especially in the last 4 years, have happened as a result of me listening and me paying attention and me acting on an email that came that made me pause and made me think, or reaching out to someone that I saw on Instagram that I was like, huh, their background's really kind of cool. That's really interesting. Let me connect with them and start following them. And then, like, you never know. And then I'm on their podcast, or I've hired them as a coach, or so many things. And it all of that happens as a result of me slowing down, like you're talking about, which I love the subject of that, and just paying attention and being more aware of the things that come across our lives, and then choosing where to say yes, and honestly saying yes more, and then being much more selective on what you say no to, too, because you have to say no also.
Yeah, absolutely. Had to learn to say no.
I that's a hard one. Women struggle with that. Yeah, yes. Women struggle with saying no. But I talk about that a lot when I speak, that the importance of learning to say no, and also learning to say no in the context of making yourself a priority, and making yourself a priority is really important. It doesn't make you a narcissist. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you selfish. It means that you need to do certain things to keep your energy high and to keep yourself charged and to be taking care of you. And then you can take care of others. And sometimes that requires saying no so that you can say yes to you. And that is not a selfish trade-off at all. It's necessary.
Yeah, I've learned that as well. And I couldn't agree more. It's an honorable decision to follow that. And I just think so often you mentioned listening, like slowing down, listening, hearing that inner voice, and then actually acting on it. And that can be hard for a lot of people, because sometimes that voice is not saying what we think we want it to or what we want to hear.
Of course not.
And that requires like a huge pivot. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you dealt with that. You changed careers. Like, you did a 180 with your career. Yeah. And not only did you change careers, but you became your own boss.
Yeah.
So tell us about that. That must have been scary.
Yeah. If you had asked me 5 years ago, would I own my own company? I'd be like, no, I'm not an entrepreneur. That's not in me. And I'm also not a creative person. I would have said I'm not a creative. And the reality is I'm actually very much both of those things. So you just never know. And so what I decided was, when I did it, that was the choice I was making for myself. I wanted a different life. I wanted more life-work balance. I wanted to be passionate about what I did. I wanted to love my job. If I had to work for 20 more years, I wanted to love it. And I had achieved so much success in corporate America. And so I just thought to myself, okay, I've achieved so much success in one career. If I start now, imagine the success I could create in another 20 years if I just kept following this path. And so it was terrifying. But I think one of the advantages of doing it a little bit older in life was that I know now to ask for help. And I'm not afraid to ask for help. And I'm not afraid to admit the things that I don't know. And so when I started my business, when you go to interior design school, they don't actually teach you about running a business at all in the interior design industry. They really teach you more about the theory behind design, which is great. But I would reach out to a vendor and I would say, I am new at this. I come from corporate America. I'm a salesperson, but I'm starting an interior design business. I have some questions about the back end of the business and how it works. Would you give me 15 minutes of your time? And then everything was virtual because it was COVID. And it was like, can we just have coffee over Zoom for 15 minutes? I have some questions. And most of the time we talk for like an hour. And I would just ask, because in the interior design world, like, there's trade pricing. Stuff goes to a receiver. I'm like, what is a receiver? What does that mean? It's actually like a warehouse where your stuff goes and then it gets delivered to your client. I had no idea how any of that logistics worked, like a purchase order. I didn't even understand that. I had a QuickBooks account. I'm like, what is the difference between a bill and a purchase order? How is this supposed to work? And I had a vendor just be like, do you have a PO? And I'm like, I don't even know why I need a PO. What is a PO? And so you feel like kind of an idiot because this is standard language to these people. But I think when you're willing to just be a little vulnerable and be like, hey, raise your hand. I'm new. I don't know some of these things. Would you mind helping me understand them? And it is amazing how many people want to help. And you're not asking for a lot. And in that dialogue, I learned so much that I didn't know about the back end. And so that helped me overcome some of the fears about not knowing what I was doing because I just started asking and people just started helping. And then people would be like, hey, you need this or you need that. Let me give you the contact for this. Like I needed an insurance broker. I have no idea. How do you find an insurance broker for interior design? I don't even know how to find an insurance broker, let alone one that understands the interior design business. But I reached out to someone who was a friend of an interior designer. And he was like, here, call my insurance guy. I was like, okay, great. Well, he's now my insurance guy and I've passed his name on to three other people. So you just have to be okay with the ask. And what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Someone will be like, no, I'm sorry. I don't have any time for you. Okay, great. Then you're not my person. But most people will say yes and they'll help you. So then you can overcome your fears. And it's just like that. If you want to change careers, change industries, start your own business, just start asking. Just start talking to people. And it's amazing what you'll learn.
What great advice. And like you said, what's the worst that can happen? There's really no risk. So if they say no, they say no. But your approach is if they say no, they weren't my person. And I love that perspective. Yeah.
And that's always what I say. I'm like, if you say no, you're not my person. And that's okay. That's the universe protecting me from you for some reason, somehow, because you're not my person. And I look at my business that way too. If I don't win a job that I bid on, I'm like, that's okay. Then they're not my people. That's not my person to design for. That's not my family. That's not my project. It's okay. That's fine. They're somebody else's people. And that's good. Yeah. I'd rather wait for the right people to come into my life because then you end up attracting people with the right energy to help elevate you and help you grow.
Yes. Yes. It's all about always just expanding and growing and learning more. As you said, willing to be vulnerable and admit that we're a beginner, which I think is really hard as adults, especially as we get older. As a kid and as we parent our children, we're always like, it's okay. You're going to make mistakes. You don't know this yet. Ask for help. Ask the teacher. Ask the kid in class who gets it.
Yeah.
But then why don't we take that advice sometimes?
Right. Like, it's hard as an adult. You're like, I'm supposed to have figured it all out. I'm not supposed to not know, but it's okay. It's fine. And the reality is that most people have incredible respect for anyone who's trying to learn something new, especially the older you get. And so the respect that you can get and the inspiration that you can give other people by trying to learn something new is giving back just in that instance all by itself, because people are like, oh my goodness, wow, good for you. You're trying to learn that new thing. That's so cool. And then you inspire them to think about, oh, wait, maybe I should be trying to learn something new too.
You are such an inspiration. I love how you said that. Okay. And that perspective, to me, it's the only way. That's the way that's going to lift you up and support you, because we are all going to make changes as we grow and evolve. And most of us, we don't stay the same.
No, we evolve, we grow.
Don't stay in careers.
Right.
We evolve, we grow. That's how we're made. And that's how we thrive.
Right. Yeah. Don't stay stagnant. That's so boring.
Yeah, totally.
I encourage people all the time. I'm like, you should be constantly learning. I post this on my Instagram all the time. It's like, and people respond to me like, you're crazy. I can't believe that. I'm like, right now I'm taking a course and becoming a mindset coach because I think it'll help my interior design business. And they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I just find it really interesting. I find it really fascinating. So yeah, like at night or on the weekends, I'm doing this online course because to me, it's interesting and it's good to constantly learn. I'm learning how to play the piano at 53. Why not? You know, and it's good. And the people that I've met by doing my mindset program, and the people that, like, oh my goodness, my piano coach is like the most inspiring. Her energy is outrageous. I would have never met her had I not decided I was going to learn how to play the piano. And she's such a special person. And I'm so happy that I've met her. And so you just never know who you're going to meet or what path you're going to go down. But if you're constantly trying to learn and grow, then interesting people will come your way.
Absolutely. And I find when we're more present, we notice these things more, these opportunities that may have passed us by if we were just like going through the motions, going a million miles an hour, rushing, autopilot, all of that. There's so much in our world that we miss when we're living that way.
It's true. It is
so true. Yeah. You're noticing these opportunities and you're embracing them and letting them in, and you're all the better for it. So
yeah,
That's incredible.
I'm very fortunate.
I am glad you mentioned mindset, because that theme really was very recurring throughout your book. And I'm fascinated by it as well. I think our minds are the most powerful thing, and we don't tap into them. We don't use the potential of our mind the way we probably could, most of us.
Yes,
so
true.
What advice do you have for us in mindset and staying in that lane of being open and growing and expanding and not letting the fear, the self-criticism, the self-doubt, not letting that win?
Yeah. So a couple things. I mean, first is acknowledging that we all have those fears. Everyone has those fears. So you're not alone. Everyone's afraid of trying things new. We're afraid of failure. It's all about changing the way you think about failure. Failure is just a lesson. It's not a failure. So that's a simple one to change how you think. But you're not alone. Everybody struggles with this. And everybody has, I talk about the bird that sits on my shoulder that talks to me all day long. We all have this constant banter that's going on in our minds to ourselves. And most of the time, that banter is actually very negative if you pause to listen to it. It's filled with worry. It's filled with anxiety. It's filled with the like, oh, what if I don't do this? Or, oh my goodness, I remember to do that. Or what if they say this? Or what if I don't do this right? Or, oh, I have this conference call coming and I really want that client. And what if? And so it's acknowledging that that word sits there and acknowledging that it sits there and pay attention to it. And if you really consciously pay attention to it for like a week and force yourself to be like, okay, stop. Let's like switch my brain, right? The Mel Robbins countdown from 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 that she's so famous for, which is brilliant. And re-switch the way your mind is thinking and force your brain to think about something positive. It's amazing how after a week, all of a sudden, you have more control over your mind than the bird and the banter. And so once you realize that, you're like, oh, wow, okay, this is pretty cool. And then I tell people the other thing that they should really try is I'm a huge proponent of journaling. And I think when you allow yourself and allow your brain to export what it's thinking or feeling and you put stuff down on a piece of paper, A, it helps you purge things that cause anxiety, that cause fear, that make you upset. It helps get those out so that you can then process them and then feel better about them. But it also helps your mind open up to new opportunities and new thinking that comes in. And so brainstorming, journaling, literally bullet points on different subjects. I have had some of my best ideas come to me as a result of that, because I'm not focused on the task of the journaling. I'm just focusing on like the free flow of whatever words I'm putting down. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, wow, I kind of solved my own problem here. Oh, wow. Okay. Because I got out of my own way. And so once you start to do some of these little tips, tricks, whatever you want to call them in your life, you then start to realize how much more control you can have over your mind if you make a conscious effort. Like you talk about breathing. Learning how to breathe to just like calm your overall system can be breathing for 2 minutes. It doesn't have to be like I'm going to sit in a meditative state for 45 minutes. Learning how to breathe for a few minutes and breathe in, count, hold, exhale out. Learning how to do that for 2 minutes can be life-altering, because then you realize how much more control you have over your body and how your body feels. And then once you can see these little things and these little tickets, you're sort of, it's kind of addicting, because you're like, ooh, wow, okay. And to your point, like the brain is really powerful, but I'm really powerful over the brain. And like, I can really have a lot of control over my mindset, and I can have a lot of control over a lot of understanding mindset is understanding it's not the action that happens to you, it's your response to the action that happens to you. And so learning how you can change your response to get a different emotional reaction to something that happened is incredibly powerful when you can break it down and figure out how to do that. All of a sudden, things don't bother you as much. And the slowing down, like you really do slow down. You're like, something didn't happen. I didn't fly off the handle being so upset and so annoyed. And that has so much power. So I've always found like you do it in little baby increments, and then all of a sudden you're like, ooh, this is cool. Okay, I like that.
Yes, it is addictive.
It is addictive, and you're more at peace. You're way more at peace. And I always tell people, if that's the one thing they can get to take away from me, is I have the greatest sense of inner peace. And that is such an incredible gift and an incredible goal, because happiness will ebb and flow. We all have good days, bad days. You don't have control over some of that stuff. Stuff happens. Life happens. And life is not always positive and happy. And so striving for happiness or striving for perfection is something where you're going to always feel like you're falling short. But if you have inner peace, that is so much more powerful, because then you're controlling how you react to the things that are going to happen on the outside. And you can manage to keep yourself at an even keel if you can find a place of inner peace.
Absolutely. And I think that that is where you find that work-life balance that you were talking about, because things are always going to be coming at us from external sources that we don't have the control over. So if we can have that strong foundation inside, it helps so much. I notice it just with how I react to everything. And it's a constant work in progress because
it's not
something that we ever arrive at.
No, there's no end goal. There's no end game. No. Like, I got this mindset thing covered. No, doesn't work like that.
Mm-mm. Not at all. But yeah. I love that you mentioned the choice, because I know there's been times when I've forgotten that I do have a choice. And I think that that's where autopilot and going too fast can get us hung up a little bit, because we just don't even realize, we're not aware enough that, oh, well, yeah, this isn't working for me anymore, but I don't have to stay here. There's another way.
Right. Exactly. And your body does go on autopilot all the time with so many things that are happening to us and how we react to things or different tasks that we do or how we do things, how we behave, how we respond to people. We're on autopilot so often. And so just to your point, if you just slow down and also challenge yourself, like, why am I doing that way? Why am I doing that exactly? Okay, let's think about a different way or a better way. Or why am I going to go have coffee with that person when after I leave, I'm so frustrated because I feel like all they did was complain to me for an hour? Why am I doing that again?
Yeah. That's a great time to practice using no.
Correct. Yep. Yes, practice
using
no.
And a lot of these mindset shifts, they don't take long. They don't cost anything. It can be as simple as breathing. Mm-hmm. Like you said, that 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, counting down, just giving yourself 5 seconds and making the choice that serves you better. These are all things we can be doing like right this minute that will start to change the direction of our life and how we think.
Correct. Yes, for sure. So one thing that I talk about it in my book, and I do talk about it, so I'll mention it as to piggyback off of what you just said, because I think it's important, is we talk about mindset and interior design. And one of the things that I always talk about when I speak, and this is kind of funny, and with new clients I do as well, and I say to them, what's the first thing you see when you open your eyes in the morning? And sort of think about that start to your day and your senses in that start to your day. And your podcast that you had right before Easter, where you talk about the 5 senses, it aligns with the same train of thought, which is, what's the first thing that you see when you wake up in the morning? And is it a piece of artwork that inspires you? Is it something on the ceiling that's geometric, interesting, something that makes you pause, something that takes your mind and helps bring your mind into the space? Or is it a pile of laundry? And when I say this in front of an audience, most of the time, 3/4 of the audience laughs because they're like, yeah, I'm in the laundry camp, right? Like, I'm in the laundry. And it's like, think about how you're telling yourself that you want to start your day. And if your day is starting by you looking at a pile of laundry, there's some very simple things to do to change that. Move the laundry, put up something pretty on the wall. You know, what's the first thing that your feet feel when you step out of bed? That is such an important sensory experience that you are giving your body, and a message that you're giving your body as you step out of bed. What is that? Is it a nice soft rug? Is it a freezing cold floor? Is it a carpet that's old and ratty and your dogs have eaten it? Like, I've been there. I've had all of those. It makes such a difference. And so it's a mindset shift to start thinking about these different things in your environment and how your environment can impact you internally as a person and impact how you feel and how you're treating yourself and how you're talking to yourself and how you're valuing yourself in your beginning to your day. And the more kind your beginning to the day is, the better chance you have of starting off the day on a good foot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And No, we didn't even get to talk about too much of the interior design aspect, because you're so fascinating with your mindset information.
And it's all good.
Your perspective. But I do believe, I mean, and I know obviously you do, you've made it your life's work, that our outer world and our home in particular can affect so much, and vice versa, right? It's like reflections of each other.
Correct.
So maybe you can give us like a couple things to consider to make our homes more supportive.
Yeah. So what you see when you first wake up in your sensory experiences, that's my first favorite, is to really think about that. Because I have people say to me all the time, I hate the color of the walls in my bedroom. I'm like, okay, then change them. What are you waiting for? Change them. It's the first thing that you see every morning and the last thing you see at night. Why? If you hate it, change it. The other one is, what happens when you first enter your home? What does it feel like? What's the energy when you first enter your home? So a lot of people enter their homes now through the garage and into a mudroom. And very often that mudroom is filled with just a lot of chaos and shoes and clothes. And if it's wintertime in New England, boots, hats, stuff everywhere, backpacks from our kids. And that's the first energy experience you have with your home as you enter, which is like chaos. So it just continues from there. And so I encourage people, like, take a look at that first entry and how you enter your home. And if it's chaos, do some simple things to organize, get some baskets, get some bins. It's also a great place. Paint a color on the ceiling that makes you happy. It's easy. It's no big deal. It's low commitment. Put wallpaper on the ceiling. No one is going to see it but you. And it can make you smile every time you walk in here and be like, oh, wow, look at that pretty wallpaper up there. That's so cool. That makes me happy. Do it in a powder room. Most mudrooms have powder rooms right off them. Go crazy. Put crazy wallpaper on the wall that you would never put anywhere else, but you can put it in the powder room. So every time you walk into that room, you're like, oh, this is sort of a little zen. This is cool. I like this. Whether it's flowers, geometry, whatever. Go a little wild. And so it's simple things that you can do, but it's about being aware of how your environment and your living environment is actually impacting you internally. And think about stress. Think about impacts of color. Everybody has a different opinion of color. I love yellow. Lots of people hate yellow. My sunroom is yellow. I love it as yellow. The sunroom being yellow is great. I had a bedroom that was yellow when I bought my house, and I was like, no, this is not working for me. Yellow in the bedroom is not working. But in the sunroom, it's perfect. It's fabulous. It makes me so happy. And so think about color, because painting something is so easy and so low commitment that it's so easy to just paint a wall and see how it makes you feel. And do you feel differently when you walk in and you see that pink color? And so it's just being aware of these things to connect what's going on inside your house and what's going on with you.
That just reminded me, in your book, you mentioned the Do Not Disturb special. And I think it kind of goes right in line with what you were saying.
Yes, my favorite. So the Do Not Disturb part is every space that I design, every home that I design, I always try to find Do Not Disturb spaces. So reading nooks, places where people can go and read or meditate or journal or just look out the window. And these are spaces where, after you've done it a few times, your brain starts to learn that, oh, when I sit in this chair in this corner, that's when I'm giving myself a moment to breathe. And it's finding places and moments of time, and it can be all of 10 minutes, where you sit down in your designated space and you just breathe. And you might just be looking out the window and absorbing nature, or you might be meditating or journaling or reading, but you're giving your brain a pause. And what you're doing is you're creating an invisible sign around yourself. This is Do Not Disturb. And you're teaching your children and the other people in your household, and even just the banter and the chatter that's going on in your head. When I sit here, this is my moment to breathe. And this is my moment to pause. And having designated spaces within your house to do that. And you don't have to have a big house. You can have an apartment and do it with a big pillow that you put on the floor and you light a candle. And when you sit there, your body learns very quickly, this is my few moments of time to breathe and to pause. And it is so life-changing. And I am, like, addicted to mine. Like, if I don't sit in my chair twice a day, that's in my bedroom where I do all of this, it's like I get antsy because I'm like, oh, I haven't done it. Like, my body's like craving just that downtime. And over time, if you start to pay attention to yourself, you will see yourself start to calm down just because you sat in a chair, because that chair represents something, and something happens to your body when you sit in that chair.
So even just talking about that, thinking about it, is making me feel like very
And anyone, you can do it anywhere. I mean, I've done it in hallways. I've done it as, like, benches that flank bookshelves. It could be a chair. It could even be a chair that's in a very public place within your home. That's also fine. It's just your body and your family know when you're sitting in that chair, don't talk to me. Come back in 10 minutes. Like, that's it. I'm sitting in my chair. And it's fine. It's great. It's great to say yes to yourself and give yourself permission to do that, and to have your designated space to just give your brain a chance to breathe.
I love that. It's so important. And just connecting, I think it'll help us get into that mode a little quicker too. Like, all right, that's what I do when I'm sitting.
It does. It happens so much faster. Right. Yeah. No. And most of the chairs I do, I'm like, put a nice pillow on it, something that you like, get a blanket if you want a blanket, put a candle in your body. I mean, you can do whatever you want, but it can also be as simple as a pillow on the floor. And it's like, every time you sit in that, okay, and you don't have to be meditating if that's not your thing. It's okay. Just give yourself a chance to breathe. And if anything, at the minimum, just look out the window. Just look at what's happening outside. Watch it and see what's happening outside. And it's amazing how that gives your brain a chance to calm down, because you're just focusing on what's going on outside and you're noticing and observing, like you talk about. You're observing what's going on around you. And then you can appreciate, like, oh, wow, the robins are out. Oh, the blue jays are out. The crocuses are coming up here in New England. Like, it's great.
So important. And it makes life so much better. I think it's just enriches every aspect of our day, and it can have a beautiful ripple effect if it you does. Do this long term.
It does. And it's not hard, to your point about the other things. Like it, a lot of the mindset stuff that we do every day, it's free. It's not time consuming. We're not talking about sitting like in silence with our legs crossed for 45 minutes in an om prayer position. Baby step to it, folks.
Jean, I love talking to you. Thank you for sharing all of this today.
You're welcome.
I do want to encourage everyone to check out your book. So why don't you tell us, I will link everything in the show notes. Why don't you tell us where everybody can find you? And I want to mention also that to anyone listening, if you would be so kind as to write a review for the podcast and you can send me a screenshot of it, all the information's in the show notes, you can be entered to win a copy of Jean's book.
So exciting. Thank you for that. I love that. So my book is called 2 Feet In, Lessons from an All-In Life. It's available in every format at Amazon, hardcover, paperback, a Kindle ebook. And I also recorded the audio version of it. So anywhere where you would get an audiobook, Spotify, anywhere you buy an audiobook, you can get it there. You can listen to me talk for 5.5 hours. I'm told that's actually a pretty cool experience. And I encourage people to follow me on Instagram, that's the most active platform. Instagram, which is at Jermar Designs, JERMAR_designs. And my website is the same thing, jermardesigns.com. And you can reach out to me. I encourage people, if you read my book, please write a review. It's really helpful, not only for the algorithm at Amazon, but I also love to hear what people have to say. Or you can DM me on Instagram or send me an email. I love to hear people's feedback and thoughts and how it helped you.
Awesome. It's a very inspiring book, so I encourage everyone to check it out.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here today, Jean.
It was great to be on your show. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great week.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode and have been inspired to slow down and start living life at your own pace. As a brand new podcast, your listener voice matters. If Let's Slow Down is resonating with you, please take a minute to leave a review and rate us. Subscribe to the show wherever you listen and share it with friends. Remember, this is a process, so go easy on yourself. Be gentle and take all the space you need to thrive, because the world needs you to be at your best, to love and serve others and yourself.